Well, some of you weren't here when I probably spoke for the first time. First time I spoke here, I actually almost fainted. I had to sit down at the front because I think it was also an equally hot day. So we were in hope that history does not repeat itself. I actually very seriously considered changing my message this morning during the family Bible hour when Grant shared something. Is Grant still here? I think he had to slip out. He shared something about how God spoke to him through his daughter, through praying for his daughter and thinking about his family. And it really resonated with me from a time just in Costa Rica where began to be challenged by just this idea that God is a God who speaks. And we were in the book of John quite a bit this morning too, and John as an author, this is a common theme for him. He talks about, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then later on in 1 John, he refers to God, or to Jesus, he's talking about Jesus, as the Word of life. And it's significant that we have a God who speaks, and is not limited in the ways that he can speak. And I'm thankful that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit that reveals the truth of the Bible to us and speaks to us in many different ways. So on that note, I want to just ask God's blessing this morning and encourage you each to think about and to ask God as we pray for Him to speak. I can do my part in bringing some thoughts and reading some scriptures, but ultimately it's up to you as well. If you have an open heart to listen to God and for God Himself to speak. So why don't we ask God to speak to us? Jesus, we thank You that You have spoken and revealed Yourself to us. Thank You for Your life that we get to read about and study and learn from in the Bible. Thank You for all the many different people that through history have heard from You and then have shared that with us, that today we have this amazing book. But thank You most of all that You are not bound by books or by our own thoughts or our own ideas, that Your ways are much higher and better than ours. And I ask simply that the Word, Jesus, that You would speak to us today and that we would hear. Pray this in Your name. Amen. So why are we all here? Why are there so many people sitting here? In a way, kind of what I was just saying and praying and hoping, I've come to understand this time that we set aside as someone the other day called it a sacred disruption. So it's a time we set aside to change our direction, hopefully, to hear something that speaks to us and gives us direction for our lives and for what's next. I believe that this question of why, and for me it's a bigger one about purpose and meaning, is really important. And I've learned a lot about it through the last couple of years. Would you agree that we all need purpose and meaning? As I think about it, there's a lot of different purposes that we live for. And I've begun to notice a pattern in my life that when I don't have purpose, maybe you can think about it for yourself just a moment. What is it like for you when you have no purpose? When you've either lost it, or you're confused about it, or you're questioning it? For me, it's like a fire has gone out. When I lose purpose and meaning in something, I compare it a little bit to like a ball that's been punctured and just totally lost its functionality. It's lost its ability to be fun, to enjoy life, to be used. And so I believe it's really important for us to have a clarity around our purpose. And like I said, there's a lot of different ones out there. What I want to look today in is Joshua chapter 1, if you wanted to turn there with me. On the note of purpose, too, I think it's significant to have a, as you think about your purpose, one of the things that I've noticed in my life that for a long time, I was driven by, I guess a word I would call should. Driven by obligation and by what I had to do, what I should do. And it's a longer story and I'd love to share more about it if you're ever interested, but I've really noticed a transformation in my life that God has done in moving me from should to a place of desire and of calling and of something that actually gets me up in the morning with purpose. And there's a big difference. But that's another story. In Joshua chapter 1, I've come to see what I believe my purpose is, but in a new way. Over the last little while, I've really heard God speaking to me through a number of different ways that I've seen that my purpose is to be a blessing. And that those words have specific significance to me and may not for you. But it has really a lot of significance for me, and it involves both understanding that in order for me to be a blessing, I have to be in Jesus. That that's my foundation and my source. And it also helps me realize that my call is to bless others, always. And it's marked by the life of Jesus. But in Joshua 1, I came to see something a little bit, just in a different way. And all of us, I believe, you know, those of us that have been following Jesus, understand that we have Jesus' words of the Great Commission to go into all the world and create disciples. And I believe we actually have the same message here, just in a different way. So if you're familiar with this chapter, awesome. But we're going to go through it a little bit here, just as a review. This begins the transition from the leadership of Moses to Joshua. And God is actually speaking to Joshua. And he has a message that comes through several times, which is, be strong and courageous. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 is more one of the famous ones from this chapter. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Tying this into the idea of purpose, what we've been talking about, if Joshua did not have purpose, these words would be a little bit meaningless. It's because Joshua had a call on his life, and a hard one, a challenging one, that God found it necessary to remind him several times to be strong and courageous, and to not fear and not be discouraged, because God is actually with him. So these words, if we want to take them to heart and feel good about them and to be encouraged, we actually need to place these in the context of what God is calling us to. And what we're going to continue here with, I believe, shows some of this purpose. Joshua's first order of business is to get the camp ready, all the Israelites, because they're about to cross the Jordan River to go into the land of blessing that God has given them. In verse 12, it's significant that Joshua speaks to three tribes. Well, two and a half. Not sure how that works. The Reubenites, Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. It says, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God has given you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you, east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So this is Joshua's first order of business. And if you put yourself in his shoes, if you were taking over leadership somewhere, I wonder if these three tribes, you know, if it was me, I don't know if I would receive this news very well. Because these three tribes actually already have their inheritance. They've gotten their land. They fought in clearing and obtaining a bunch of battles, and now that they have their land that they were promised. But God is commanding through Joshua that these tribes, these people that have received blessing from God, actually need to go out and fight for their brothers. Not only that, not just with their brothers, it actually says you must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you. You may already be getting hints of where this may be going. God began to speak to me through this passage. And we'll get to a little bit, to the rest of it in a little bit here. I wanted to turn to 1 John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 7 to 11 first. And I read from this last Sunday and continued to think more on it, and it connected with this passage for me in Joshua. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And in verse 19 to 21, the same chapter, it says again, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother." So there's a theme between these two passages about brother, about loving. Joshua, it's a bit stronger. It's actually to serve, really, to fight for on the behalf of brother. So who is our brother? Does this passage impact us now? I think a strong theme throughout the New Testament, especially through the life of Jesus and his words, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Another question: how do we view non-Christians? What do we call them? What do we think about them? And on that note, if we look at the life of Jesus, how did he view those who are not walking with God? Who is the real enemy? I guess as I've been looking at these passages and as I've studied this a little bit more, if I think about who my brother is, who my neighbor is, and who Jesus saw as his brother and his neighbor, I'm challenged to look at those around us, at these people out here playing football, at the neighbors around our church, at the people I'm beginning to get to know on my street, at home. And I've learned through my time in Costa Rica to see those people differently. And to realize that they are my brothers. They are my, sometimes literally, neighbors. But they are people very, very dear to the heart of Jesus. And they are the people that, if I look at his life, he sought out and spent time with, enjoyed life with. Not just as a, not just to say words, not just to convey a message through words, but actually to really have an impact on their lives through living with them and through getting to know them and loving them and being a blessing to them. 1 John makes it very clear that if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. And that God has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Someone that I consider my pastor, my mentor, a very good friend in Costa Rica, his name is Florentino, and I could go on and on about how he's impacted my life and the example he has showed me of what it means to live to be a blessing to anyone and to put the needs of his community, his family, above his own. And right now he's building a church in the jungle and for a small community, and he spends a lot of time working there, and he will never receive any money because of that. And yet that's what he puts his time into. And he spoke to me and challenged me with this idea that sometimes in our Christian walk, we settle for the first blessing. What is the first blessing? So I believe the first blessing, as he explains it, is the gift of salvation for ourselves. It's the good news that we are forgiven, that we have hope, that we actually have a future with God, that we are welcomed into his family. And this is a huge, huge blessing. And it's important for us to, especially as we did this morning at the breaking of bread, just to dwell on that and thank Jesus for that and be, just have a gratitude in our hearts. We got to do that for sure. But he says sometimes we settle for that first blessing and we stay there when there's actually more blessing. There's a second blessing, and a third, and a fourth. And I believe that further blessing is what's talking about here. The second blessing is to live in the words, it is better to give than to receive. That there's a blessing that comes from being a channel and being used by God to bless another person. Someone else that desperately needs the love of God. There's a blessing that comes from being able to pray with someone and share, maybe for the first time, the words from the Bible that there is forgiveness. For someone to actually hear someone speak into their story of hardship or brokenness, and to hear that there's actually forgiveness. That there's a new life possible. Is that a blessing? Is that something you would desire to partake in? And so there is more blessing. And John seems to be telling us here that actually, if we settle for that first blessing, and if we think that that is it, and nothing more, I don't actually know what what place that puts you in, and what place it puts me in as I think about how often I can lose sight of that and become self-focused, self-indulged. Because there is a real enemy, and there is a real battle going on. And it looks differently here than in other places of the world. I've been waking up to some of the ways that I experience this battle. A lot have to do with self-indulgence, about being self-focused. And I'm noticing it in food. It's been an interesting one. Spend time living somewhere where food is not as abundant, and you realize that you can live on a lot less. And then I come home and I eat, and I suddenly realize I'm not hungry, but I'm still eating. I'm not working as hard as I used to, but I'm eating more. And this has been something in my life where suddenly I'm realizing that there's this subtle battle going on between, am I focused just on fulfilling what I like, what I desire, what I want? And my wants sometimes are very selfish. Versus am I seeing the opportunities that God is showing me to bless others? So I believe we have a calling. And it's much like the Great Commission from Joshua. Sorry, the Great Commission from Matthew or the Gospels. But in Joshua, I believe there's a similar message. We look at it again. Cross over ahead of your brothers. What was on the other side of the river? There's a lot of battles. As you continue on in Joshua, there is a lot of battles. And like I said, I believe the battle looks differently now. And our enemy is a little bit more clear than it was for them at this time. Their enemy was people. It was, it was a little bit more complicated. But I believe our real enemy is Satan. And he desires death and destruction and brokenness. And our world is full of it and suffering from it. And we feel it as well, too. But we have received the first blessing from God. But there are others who have not. And I'm not talking just about the belief that one day you can go to heaven. I'm talking about the fact that God's blessing is now. Anyway, we will always struggle with the brokenness of sin. But there is real hope from God now. God is real. Jesus is alive. He is the Word of life, and He still speaks today. We have the general revelation of God, the story of what He's done. And this book is not God, but God speaks through this book. And He speaks through prayer. He speaks through others in our lives. He speaks through creation. God is not limited in how He speaks. So if we are to accept this call to fight for our brothers, I don't know if fight's the right word, but I hope you understand what I'm saying in that sense, that there's a real spiritual battle that I experience as I wrestle with my own desires versus what God is calling me to. And I guess the question I have is, do you accept God's calling for your life? Or are you asking God for the first blessing without accepting and searching for the second? Joshua 1:9 says, be strong, courageous, do not fear, do not be discouraged, because your God is with you. Do we need strength for this calling that God has put on our lives? And what does that look like? What is strength? Why do we need strength? We need strength for things that are difficult, are challenging, that don't just happen by themselves. Why do we need courage? When I think of courage, I think of risk. So what are the risks in accepting this call of God on our lives? I think the risk is that it's going to cost something. And I don't know when the last time we prayed this, or talked about this, but is following Jesus, knowing Jesus, walking with him every day, and living like Jesus lived, just blessing others, is that worth any and every cost? Or what cost is too high? What risk is too great to say yes to Jesus? I need courage to pray that prayer. So let's identify it. It says, do not fear. What are your fears about following Jesus in this way? What is your fear about crossing over and actively working and living so that your brothers can receive a blessing from God? What are you afraid of? For me, it would be looking silly. Or, I don't know, messing it up somehow, or not having the right words. People thinking I'm silly, or not taking me seriously, or sometimes it's about work, maybe lose a job, or I don't know. It could be all kinds of different things for you. What discourages you? It says, do not be discouraged. What has the power to discourage us? Failure, I think failing. You can answer it for yourself. So then we come to the last part of the verse, which says, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I believe this is specific in this context to as you go about my work, as you go about following my call, not just wherever you go, although God is with us, absolutely. But in this specific sense, if you go where God is calling you to go, he will give you strength and courage. He will speak truth that can dissipate the fears. And even if you do become discouraged through failure or anything else, he is able to redeem and reconcile and bring life again. So it's actually good news that God is with us. And it's good to think through and identify those fears. I suggest maybe writing them down. Write down your fears. Write down what is discouraging you. And then put it in front of God, understanding that he is there with you in that, and that he desires, as the God who speaks, to speak into that. So you're Joshua. You give this command to these 2.5 tribes. And this has been your first act as leader. What kind of a response would you expect? So let's look at what the response actually was. Because I would imagine that maybe some people would not be interested. Or if I take any kind of, if I look back on my life, there's been a lot of times when I have not desired to follow this call of God in my life. But let's look at the response in verse 16. Then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." So we take liberty, obviously, through this, that this was written in a different context and to specific people in a specific situation. But I believe it's an example. And I've personally heard God speaking to me through it and challenge me through it about my own commitment to obeying God and to following him. And I look at this response of these 2.5 tribes. God is asking them to sacrifice on behalf of others, even though they've already received their land. And this is their response. "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go." Is that our response to God and to his call in our lives? And maybe, I think about the fear sometimes with this, is maybe we don't believe that it's worth it. Maybe we don't trust God that this is really actually going to lead to good things. And you have to define what good is. I mean, I just finished reading a book about the persecuted church in China by Brother Jun and others, and their lives were marked by hardship. Hardship that we don't experience at all in the slightest here. And yet Brother Jun will say, I was thankful for the time, the several months, years that I got to spend in prison. He's thankful for it. Because through that, he experienced blessing of sharing blessing with those in prison. And he saw so many people full of brokenness actually receive forgiveness and peace and joy and love into their lives. That blessing was worth it. And I think of Jesus, who counted it worth the cost. Looking ahead, he endured the cross. And why? Because it was worth it. So what does this look like? Kind of talk a lot about just theory and ideas about going across and loving our brothers, and maybe we'd walk away thinking, okay, I need to do that more, but I kind of encourage you, what does that actually look like? Can you put some names to some brothers or neighbors? Or faces, or houses, or groups. Because I would desire that God would speak to us right now, even in this moment, about, God, if I accept this call, who is it? And this is the beautiful thing. There aren't any names of your neighbors in this Bible. But God can speak, still, and tell you which ones. Or maybe he says all of them. But if you dare, I encourage you to ask God. Who are the brothers, who are the neighbors, the sisters, that you are calling me to love and to share your blessing with? And what does that look like? While in Costa Rica this last year, and I was praying about this, because I see it every day in the lives of the people we get to work with in Costa Rica, that this is what they do. They host soccer tournaments because everyone loves soccer. They serve coffee because everyone loves coffee. They go and visit the seniors in their homes. They bring them food. They pray with them and hang out with them. And so as I was thinking about that, the idea that came to me was, how can I connect with my neighbors? can't host a soccer game because they're probably not going to show up. I'm not really interested in soccer. So the idea came to me of barbecue. Everybody loves a barbecue, it seems out here. And so this was something very specific, and I just share this as an example because this needs to translate into action. It just stays here as words. It's been a waste of time. So barbecue. So I've begun getting to know my neighbors. Five houses down, I can see their house from my road, like from my driveway. I've seen them, I don't know how many countless times. But for the first time in 9 years, I met some neighbors. A couple weeks ago. Jamie and Alina. 9 years. 9 years, they've been there. They've got a fishing boat. And that's actually how I made the connection. I just went over and asked them about the boat. But how long has that opportunity been there for me? I like fishing. And he's got a boat. It's pretty simple. But suddenly we talk and God uses that. God opens a door. So I encourage you to think about that. Who is in your life? What opportunities do you have to be a blessing and to share God's love? And if you dare ask God, ask Him to use you and to open doors. And it's worth every cost. Yeah.
I think it's on. Yeah. Well, I told Glenn Allen to take as much time as he wanted, and I'm glad he did. So let's just close in prayer. Our Father, we just thank you for your great love to us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, and that we've been brought to know that wonderful salvation, that forgiveness, that peace with you, Lord, all because that He first loved us and gave Himself for us. But Father, we've been reminded today that that's only just the beginning of our walk with you. And so Father, we just pray for your help. We pray that love that you shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit would be overflowing in our lives to those around us. And just help us, Father. Just give us courage and help us to think of those around us that we can be a help to, and our brothers and sisters. And in any way, Lord, just... we just pray that we will be led by your Spirit and have the joy of serving you in this way. And we know we've been called to this high calling, and we thank you, Father, for that that inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. But we know that there's battles to be fought there, and Lord, just give us the courage to go in and serve one another, and be a true soldier of Jesus Christ. We just commit this to thee, Father. Thank you again for this day, and just bless each one, we pray, in Jesus' precious name.